Meditation is music to God within. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Instant Illumination. Sounds great, doesn't it? Meditation is music to God within. Now, we have long lived our lives on earth, and we have long done everything we damn pleased to do. And we have complained about the results. They are not satisfactory. I had a woman call today and say that her husband is whole and perfect after treatment was done for him. And she called in very great anguish because she was fearful that he was not going to be with her. And so she called the doctor, the lawyer, the candlestick maker, the practitioner of every organization she could think about, and she wanted everybody to pray with her that her husband is whole and perfect. Now, I want to tell you a little story. The doctor, the lawyer, the candlestick maker, all of these people are wonderful people. They make wonderful candlesticks. They do wonderful law cases, and so forth and so on. Now, if you tell someone that your dog has been run over by a car and isn't expected to live, what is the first thing they think? They say, goodbye, puppy dog. And there is no possibility that they're going to think that your dog has a chance to live. You have given them the prognosis that it's the end. Well, then you go to practitioners or you go to people who think positively with you, and they say, it is done unto you according to your belief. Now, what is your belief? What is your belief? Are you just as defunct in your thinking as they are? Are you just as defunct in your thinking as the appearances that are in your world? Are you frightened? Do you have a lot of anxiety inside of you about whether this will be a success or not? Well, if you are, you're no help. You're not benefiting the case at all. You're not benefiting the circumstances at all, because what you're doing is you're saying that there's a chance that it might not succeed. Now, as I told this lady, I said, it's very important for you and everyone who is dealing with people who are having problems, especially with yourself too, is to remember the words of Jesus. Jesus had the blind men come to him and say, we would be made whole. And Jesus said, go to the river Shalom and wash your eyes and come back. And they did. And he says, you are whole. And they could see. And then Jesus said categorically and very strongly, go and tell no one. Tell no one, because they will think that you were blind before and you probably still are blind, and that it's just a freak, a momentary thing, and you're not going to remain with your good eyes. Don't tell anyone. But the blind people were so ecstatic at being able to see after not being able to see that they ran around their world saying, before I couldn't see and now I can see. And the people were incredulous because they knew they had not gone to some honky-tonky New York surgeon who did surgery on their eyes and bring them back to vision. They knew he had not. These men had not gone to any great healer at Lourdes or other places, which didn't exist at that time, of course. But people knew that these were just ordinary run-of-the-mill people who could see and they couldn't before. There was something haywire there, something incorrect, something that must not be, you see? Mm-hmm. And so every one of them had doubt in their mind, even looking at the people who could see. And so they lost their sight. Now, you and I, we do this too. When we go around telling people that before we had an appendix that was very bad and we had it taken out, now we feel good. And shut up. I told the lady, start right now by going around telling all your friends how perfect your husband is. what a perfect man he is, how perfectly healthy he is, how he is in such good health. He's such a fabulous guy, such a wonderful guy. Just go around saying, don't say he was before ill. Don't say that anything was before. And if they don't know anything of his past, that's all the better. But, hey, don't talk about the illness. Don't talk about having been ill before and now not being ill. Well, when I said that, the big puff in her balloon was popped. And she stopped her enthusiasm and she stopped her great joy of talking to me. And she realized that, hey, this guy's serious. And that doesn't sound nice to me at all. That doesn't sound like healing words at all. And he's just real tough on me. And I was. I am real tough on anybody because I can only teach the principle. Now, are there times I violate the principle? I hope not, but if there are, you know, that's my problem. If there are, that's my problem. If somebody comes up to me and is not perfect, and I see them not perfect, I got a problem. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes up to me and has a broken leg, and I don't see that as a perfectly broken leg, I got a problem. Now, if they come up to me and they say, I'm whole and perfect, I say, that's good. You got a nice broken leg there, huh? You want another one? No. I'm whole and perfect. I am without a broken leg. Well, then why don't you act like it, you know? Act like you're without a broken leg. Act like your legs are whole and perfect. Act like it. You know, Edith Mary went into the doctor and had some work done because her legs were not operating perfectly. And so as she went in there, she said to the doctor, Doctor, I want you to recognize one thing. I want you to realize that my legs are whole and perfect. I want you to realize that my legs are whole and perfect. And whatever caused this, it is now being taken care of perfectly, and I'm whole and perfect. And the doctor says, go for it, baby. You know? And so this lady that called today, too, she said to her doctor, she said, Doctor, I want you to recognize that my husband's whole and perfect. And the doctor says, all right. And I want you to recognize that he is whole and perfect and always was and always will be. The doctor says, well, that's a good attitude to have. Now, if you see anyone whole and perfect, can you talk about the illness?
No.
My friend in the hospital today, last night that is, was talking about the illness, talking about all of the problems that came along to bring it into being, and yet she told the doctor to say she is whole and perfect. You can't have this dualism. You can't have the dualism. The lady today, she was so thrilled that her husband had risen from the dead, so to speak. But then she had to tell all about all the problems that he had faced. Don't do that. You cannot have this dualism. If you have this dualism, you're going to destroy yourself. Because that's what it's all about. Meditation is music to God within. Now, meditation is in living in peace, living in harmony, living in right action, saying, God, I feel good today. Oh, man, do I feel wonderful. I had a wonderful walk today. Oh, you know, every time I turn around, I feel so good. I feel so wonderful, you know? And that's meditation. That's music to God inside of you. And maybe it's a good idea that we begin recognizing that we're playing our heartstrings for our divine within. And our heartstrings should be singing the symphony of wholeness and perfection, right action and truth, love, peace, harmony, and abundance. And as we do that, we experience just those things. But if we're going to have dualism, the principle will not know how to react. It will react at the level of the consciousness that is most sincere. I'll never make it. I'll never make it. Oh, I'll never. You know. I'm perfect, I'm perfect, I'm perfect, I'm perfect. But the emotion of I'll never make it with that sadness, that feeling sorry for yourself and all that sort of stuff, that is your real self. That is what the law takes as who you are. For you just to poof along saying, I'm whole and perfect, and then go along saying, oh, you have to be very careful because you cannot play games with the law. You cannot play games with the principle, because it follows whatever you choose to put in motion for it. Now, you say, well, Herb, we have the University of Healing here, and people call us at the University of Healing to become whole and perfect in areas of their life. How can they explain what their problem is if we won't listen to it? Well, if you go to the store because you are hungry, and you tell the storekeeper, I'm hungry. You got any food here to eat? Storekeeper says, I got a whole store full of it. Well, I'm hungry. What do you suggest? The storekeeper says, it's your pleasure. But I'm hungry. Well, look at the products here that are available. Now, do you like bread? Do you like butter? Do you like peanut butter? Do you like steak? Do you like eggs? What do you like? You know, what's your pleasure? They're all here. And you see, we have that problem. We go to the store saying that we're hungry. We go to God saying we're hungry. We go to the principle of the law and saying we ain't got. And the principle says, well, since you ain't got, you're going to get some more ain't got, because that's what you're talented at getting. But if you go there and you say, hey, I feel like a lobster steak dinner tonight. And the principal says, that sounds interesting, go for it. And so you go home and you think you're going to have a lobster steak dinner. And everything you do, you think you're going to have a lobster steak dinner. That's just your taste buds are open for that. And there's no lobster and there's no steak at home and there's no dinner at home. And you think, I'm going to have a lobster steak dinner. And you don't say how, where, when, why, or anything. You just speak your word, I'm going to have a lobster steak dinner. And then you go out for a walk in the evening. You haven't had your dinner yet. And as you're walking down the street, you're going by your neighbor's house. And her name is Mrs. Jones. And she says, Mr. Brown. And you look at her and say, oh, Mrs. Jones, how nice to see you tonight. It's a beautiful night, isn't it? She says, Mr. Brown, I have just got a telephone call from my husband. I had planned a special dinner for him tonight to end all dinners, and he can't come home. His company sent him out of town tonight, and he can't come in. And the dinner's all ready. Will you come and eat with me? Why, sure, be happy to, Mrs. Jones. And so they're very good friends, you know. And they're proper type of neighbors. They're not the kind who would be seen going in each other's houses and people think bad things, because they're just good people. And there are good people. And so he goes in and she says, there's the bathroom. You can go and wash your hands before we start our supper. And so then he comes out of the bathroom and he looks at the dining room table. And there it is with massive abundance of steak and lobster and drawn butter. And everything that his heart could desire. And he says, oh, Mrs. Jones, thank you very much. This is the answer to my prayer. And Mrs. Jones said, well, you're the answer to my prayer, because I didn't want this food to go to waste. You know, if we don't eat it, And so they sat and had a lovely evening. And they talked about philosophy. They talked about believing in themselves. They talked about staying true to whatever it is they have in their mind. Now, he didn't say, I believe that I was going to have a steak and lobster dinner tonight, but I didn't know how it was going to happen or where it was going to happen. You don't say that to anybody, because then you're saying that you created them giving you the dinner. What you do is say, it was so wonderful and thoughtful of you to think of me. And this dinner is good and very good. But don't say, I thought of it too. I thought of it too. Because the minute you do that, Mrs. Jones is going to say, I don't need that character over here anymore, you know. I'll call Mr. Adamowski, who is living on the other side of me, and I know that his wife is ill in the hospital and he has to make his own meals, but you walk, you know, but Mr. Brown walked by, and so it was just natural I asked him, you know. So, you see, be careful how you use the principle, what sort of melody you play to the divine within. Meditate. And let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in my sight. Let the meditations of my heart bring me all of the experiences that I enjoy. I meditate on peace, I have a world of peace. I meditate on joy, I have the music and harmony and love of joy resounding through my being. Meditate on friendship, and I am surrounded by beautiful friends who have no desire to obligate me to their friendship in any way, and on and on. Meditation is the music of your soul playing for the divine in you, the God in you. Have that music play as beautifully and wonderfully as it's designed to do. But with it all, be consistent. Have a lovely evening, and know that I see you enjoying a steak and lobster dinner at the choice of your heart right now. And so it is. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.